Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Fanatics podcast. Today, we have a very special guest, Sarah Torrance. Sarah, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm fabulous. I've been wanting to get you on since I started this podcast. I know you've had a busy schedule. My schedule, especially with work, has been crazy the last couple of years since I started this job. Great job, but lots to do, especially with the kiddos. So I'm so glad that we could connect today and talk about your books, your writing experience, your editing experience, and really just all your experiences. So thank you so much for coming on and,
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. We'll actually go right there with that first question. What has your writing journey been like up until this point?
Evolved. I don't know. I've been writing my whole life. I wrote a story when I was in kindergarten that made it into the state fair, I remember. So I've been writing forever. But seriously, I didn't start writing until... probably, I don't know, 10 years ago-ish. I started reviewing books on my website, Bookworm Blues, in 2010. And then from there, I kind of started writing after a few years. And then I started editing, too. Cool. And I kind of started both at around the same time. So, and then, here I am, 6 books later in an editing career in. So
that's awesome. I just have to say... because, you helped me with my novella. I'm still fixing some things. I totally made a mistake. I did the wrong year. So I have 2011 events happening with 2019 marine technology. And, you know how it is, right? Untangling the... I basically have to make a decision this weekend. Am I going to go with that, the year, change the technology a bit, or am I going to make my character older? I think I found the path. My friend goes, how's it going? I was like, I'm just trying to fix myself back to where I can just listen to Sarah's, editing, just fix it. I was like, I'm just so done looking at it at this point.
Yeah, which, it's hard.
Yeah, I'm close to being done,
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you guys haven't checked out any of the books that she's edited, mine's not done yet, but she's had some amazing ones, a lot of friends of mine. So please make sure you check those out and her services. Can I just ask you real quick though? What kind of made you want to get into editing?
You know, I kind of tripped and fell into it, honestly. I started out reviewing books because I was in my senior year of college and I left all of my fluff classes to my last semester because I knew I would just be done by that point. So I suddenly had like really dumb classes and no homework. And I realized I had time to read again. So I went to the library and I started getting back into fantasy and all that stuff because I had time to. And then I got really excited about the books I was reading and nobody cared. So I started a website where I could review them. And then I kind of got really interested in critically reading. I liked to be able to kind of pick apart the elements of the book that made a book. And I guess through reviewing, I kind of fine-tuned that. But anyway, years passed and an author came up to me once with a book, a manuscript, and said, "Hey, let's see what you can do with this." And I said, "Well, I'm not an editor." And he said, "Well, you should be." And so that was really my first job that he kind of took a chance on me, and then someone else did, and then someone else did. And I realized, you know, I kind of really like this. I like being behind the scenes. There was a time with a small publisher that they were like, I kind of dabbled in doing some PR work like publicity, and I realize I hate that so much. It's not me at all. But yeah, editing, I kind of tripped and fell into it, and it's just the shoe that fits.
That's really cool. That's awesome. That's it. That's what I was like, do we talk about just the writing journey? I feel like we got to talk about your editing.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm
I
good.
had somebody the other day. They were like trying to get me to like help me get with their editor, and it was so funny. They probably messaged me and said, "No, nah, I'm okay. Thank you so much." I said, "I had a great one, and I'm going over her feedback." And they kind of were like, "Are you sure?" Like blah blah. And like usually I just say, "Yeah, I'm okay." And finally I was just kind of like, yeah, "I have serotonin." They're like, "Oh, you're good. Never mind." Like stop talking. So I said the story because it was really funny.
That's
They're like, "Oh,
flattering.
you're all set." I was like, "Thank you." That's what I've been saying, you know. But I just love the reaction. Like, "Oh no, yeah, she's a fabulous." They're like, "You're all set." I was like, "Yeah, I appreciate the help, but I was like, no, seriously, I'm good. I'm good." Yeah, so it's really funny. So yeah, that happened to me like
Funny.
literally like last week. I think it was like Thursday. I
Yeah, that's
was at school.
funny.
I was just like, "No, dude, no." Yeah, it was great. So your reputation has far preceded you, Sarah. So that's I just wanted you to know that. So for our audience, like I know quite a few, of the books and things like that that you've edited and things like that. But what genre or genres do you currently write in and why?
I mostly write in fantasy, but like it's kind of not fantasy. I think I've settled on literary fantasy, but I don't know if that's a thing. I write really literary stuff, but I add a little bit of magic to it, and nobody really knows what to do with that. The literary people don't like the magic, and the fantasy people don't like the literary, and so I just do it. But I've always liked fantasy. My oldest brother is autistic, and so when I was in high school, he really pushed me to start reading books and these fantasy books that he was really into. And I remember it was Tad Williams' Memory, Sorrow, and Thorn. And my brother kept talking to me about Simon, the character, and how he was underfoot and in the way and hyper and he couldn't stay on task and all this stuff. And I realized this was my brother's way of telling me how he felt because he had a really hard time vocalizing a lot of that internal stuff. And so, and the books were his way of kind of connecting with me like that. And so that was my gateway into fantasy was through my brother and through like learning how to talk to my brother that way. And I think that's why my window into fantasy is very emotions centered. Like in my editing and my writing, I'm always, okay, but what does that feel like? What does this emotion do to the character? How can you twist this knife? I don't just want to hear a story or be told a story or experience. I want to feel it. And I think that's very much because of my brother, because for him, that was our special connection. That was our special conversation.
I think that's really cool. I have a lot of my friends where my brother wouldn't read ever since Harry Potter. He won't read a fantasy book. Like them, so I'm like kind of bummed at that. But my best friend and a group of my friends, like we, that's I would say that's kind of similar to like how our friendship has developed, right? Is that maybe at times they're you're like, hey, read this, you know? It's like it's easy to
Yeah.
read that, right? So I think that's super cool. Man, what a great author too to connect with them. That's so neat. Well, that's really cool. I'm curious, just in terms of like editing, just so people know, right, in case you know they haven't seen your editing background, what genres do you currently like to edit and why?
I like working in speculative fiction. Pretty much anything under the umbrella of speculative fiction that's not erotica or anything like that. I can't really do that stuff. I'm not into it. But I mostly do grimdark fantasy, epic fantasy, that kind of stuff. I've had more science fiction authors start coming to me. I mean, anything with magic and blood, really, I'm good with. So.
At some point, once I finish this other stuff, I have like a Warhammer type thing that I'd love for you to look at. Because I was like, I saw my friend discussing that actually. He's like, oh man, he's like, you should send that to Sarah at some point. I was like, I know the magic system and stuff. I feel like was I'm like evening out. I have like quite a few of the the plot and stuff like that. I have to just like kind of fly through. I think I'm like debating if I want that to be nano or not, or if I want to go back. I have quite a few. I have to just pick this year. I have like quite a few things. I have my novella. I'm definitely getting done before nano. Oh, I have like a bunch of like beta readers, like ready to go and stuff. Yeah, but I'm like really ready to do something else. You know how it is? I'm the same thing. I'm just
Yeah.
like nano for me is going to have to be a fun nano because the last couple of years I've been doing the same like urban fantasy series. I'm just like kind of ready to do something else, but that's really cool. Well, I just wanted people to know, because that's I didn't know that you were doing more sci-fi lately, so that's really good for me to know too. So that's really neat. I'm just curious, just as like a just another like subset question. What do you notice like kind of some of the similarities or differences are between helping people edit the fantasy and like sci-fi genres?
Usually on my side, it's the technology that I have to be aware of. Like
Good
fantasy doesn't really have much usually, and
one.
science fiction tends to have a lot. So like in fantasy, usually I'll have to pay more attention to the weapons and like the little tiny things in battles. And science fiction, I'm more kind of pay attention to the continuity of how technology is used, and if that makes sense. And that's of course not across the board, but it's just different flavors of storytelling. And usually it's like magic or technology in this field. One of them is going to be more complex than the other.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't know. I always like to think about that because I think, I don't know. I think that's a great answer because it really makes you kind of think a little bit differently. Like, also, like, because you are the editor, right? So it's like you are the prime reader. So, that's great that somebody like yourself, right, can pick out those things. I know for my own, novella that you helped me with, I was like, oh, I didn't even consider, some of these things, because I know those things, right? So I think it's really good to have somebody keep track of both of those things within the genres. And I've also never heard anybody ask that question. So I'm glad that I asked you because I don't know. That makes me think about things when I'm writing, I think a little differently. So that's really cool. It's fun that you're an author and an editor because I feel like there's so many different things that are different, but also, can help in both fields for people. So I think that's really cool. So what are your songs of self-hate books about, and how did you come up with this idea?
So they're kind of set in an alternative Utah. But you kind of have to squint a lot to really see it. But yeah, I have like the salt flats in it and stuff like that. But it was based on Kit Carson and the really early oil industry in Pennsylvania, and then the boom of people who were moving west to kind of settle. And Kit Carson had a daughter that he had with a Native American, like a Plains Native American wife, and she ended up dying. And then he had this daughter, and he didn't know what to do with her. And so when she was like 8 years old or something, he ended up dumping her off with his sister, who he hadn't seen since he was like 10. And so, and then, just kind of riding into the sunset. And then he ended up having another family and more children in New Mexico. But the story of that daughter, like apparently when she showed up to his sister's house, his sister wrote in a journal or a letter or something that she was basically a wild animal. She was digging up plants and trying to eat their roots and stuff. So she didn't know how her brother was trying to raise this kid, but she kind of had to turn her into a kid. And I just thought that was really interesting. Like, what would that be like to
Yeah.
be completely uprooted and foisted onto someone you don't even know? And your dad rides off into the sunset. And then, but he was this huge character in the Wild West. She could have never gotten away from his name. And so that just interested me. And then that was happening at this time when people were discovering that oil existed. And then you had people settling west. And I just find the lore of the Wild West really interesting. So yeah, that's it. And then I just thought, there's that idea of what if magic is technology? And I thought, well, okay, what if oil is magic? And then there's your
Cool.
series. So that's that one.
That's super cool. Well, that's awesome. I was gonna say, yeah, like in terms of honey and wildfires, I don't know why. Every time I search for it on my phone, so my phone's really old. So this happened the other day, and I'm so glad that I can't remember who I was talking to, and I just like was typing, and it always wants me to change it to wildflowers.
Oh, yeah,
So I sent that to
that's
somebody.
common.
Yeah, I sent that to somebody, and I'm not thinking, right? And they were like, "Sarah did not write that." I looked back, I'm like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "My phone did it again." I literally turned to my wife. I was like, "I need a new phone. It's like it's just too old. The D9 doesn't work. It's just doing what it wants at this point." So I was
That's
like, "I am
funny.
so glad I did not send that in the questions to Sarah," because I was literally I'm like I'm quite a bit behind with reviews right now. Just to be honest, I've been reading and not doing them.
Yeah.
So I have like I think I have 15 left for the year so far.
Wow.
Yeah, I made some commitments I shouldn't have. Silly me, Sarah, after I got your last feedback, I thought I can totally do this book. And then everything I just fixed this whole summer was wrong. So I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, I have Honey and Wildfires like ready to go on my Kindle. I bought quite a few of your books, actually. I don't know if I don't have a book that you have written, actually. I have to check on Kindle later. I think I actually got them all today because I had like a two left. I think it was the last two books in this series, and yeah, I got a gift card, so I was like, "Sweet!" That's
Oh,
why.
awesome.
Well, it kind of irritated me with Goodreads because I didn't know that they were out because I kept like waiting, and it's been like years, right? So for some
Yeah.
reason, it didn't like put them into my queue or anything, and didn't pop up. So I was like, oh, "Okay." I mean, I think I had book two actually, so I bought book three, and I already had the Necessity of Rain ready to go as well. But yeah, so I'm like really excited. Excited to do all three. That's going to be on my next year's reading list for 2026.
Awesome.
I'm like really, really super stoked about that. I know I started book one a while back, but my son was born and
Yeah,
stuff.
oh, that makes it hard.
Yeah, it's very difficult. But that's like I have to just tell you, like I absolutely loved the concept. I think I got to like chapter four. But that cover, I just have to say, is like one of my favorite covers.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I thought it was absolutely incredible. And for me, like I agree with you. I really do like the Old West. I actually almost moved to Utah for a teaching job. They were like waiting for I had gotten there and the person liked me, but they had already hired somebody at like
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like waiting. It was like oh, right in the like right at the base of the Purple Mountains and stuff. So it'd been really cool. But yeah, like I always loved that. Like my dad and my grandfather got me into Westerns. So
Oh, very cool.
yeah, as soon as I saw that blurb for the first time, I saw the cover. I remember years ago, and I was like, oh, this looks amazing. I saw the blurb. I was like, this is my thing. So I cannot wait to get back in and finish it up. But I'm just curious in terms of world building for these books. So you took some historical things, right? Like how did you kind of go from, and I do this too a lot, and sometimes I know people I've talked to, and sometimes I struggle with this too, is like taking that historical research and then, really incorporating it into the world building for the book. I'm just kind of curious how you went about that. Because even the Shine Territory, That's just like a really cool, I think, like world building term. So I'm kind of curious that, like, what did you like, kind of like, how are some of the processes you went about world building from your research?
I really love using history as a stepping stone in writing because I think our world is weird. And I don't think we kind of play with that weirdness enough.
Oh, for
Like, I
sure.
think a lot of the, it's like with grimdark stuff, people are always saying, but that's unrealistically dark. And it's like, well, I don't know, have you read Russian history?
Yeah.
Because,
Or Shogun.
there's a lot of reality that you can use. And I think what I did with that book specifically was I kept the entire time in my mind, I thought about the idea was oil, using oil as magic. Oil is magic. And so that kind of became my through line. And that was where, the history and the fantasy could get married, really. And it's the same with writing a lot of different things. As long as you have that central thematic pole that you can kind of twirl your stuff around, it just makes it a lot easier to balance things. So once you figure out, say, if you want to write a book with like magic soldiers or something, then you've got to figure out, maybe their weapons are what's magical, and that's your through line, right? That's where you're going to marry your soldiers to the magic right there. That's your reality and your so for me, with history and fantasy, with drafting your way through this weird wedding scene you can't get through, for literally anything, it's usually just a matter of, as long as you figure out your thematic middle that you need to have shining through it. So for me, it was oil is magic, and it was really easy for me to see which parts of reality I needed to
That's cool.
bolster the fantasy.
Yeah.
But without that central theme there, it was a lot harder for me to figure it out. So for me, with writing, with drafting, with editing, it's always figuring out the central theme of whatever it is that I'm working with. And then the pieces usually fall into place around that.
Let's
I
see.
don't know if that makes sense,
No,
but
actually, no, actually, it makes total sense. I had to like change my urban fantasy, like the universe's name because somebody already used it. But I was just thinking, like, like Weird Tales has already been a thing. And I was like, oh, Weird Universe, somebody stole that. So I went with something different. I hope nobody steals that. I went with like the elsewhere, because I have like beings and things, like where the fae come right from, right? Like I have everything coming, like vampires and giants and orcs, whatever. They're not all the same, but it's like they're where the legends come from, for my world. So I was like, oh, like, because I thought, right, like R.R. Birdie and I talked quite a bit about like where do stories originate from, right? And then how do they change and spread? And I was like, oh, that's such a cool concept. So I kind of like took that. So for me, it was like, where's the weird? So every time there's a Facebook reel that's like kind of funky, where it has some history or mythology or something, there's like these three knights that allegedly in the crusade, like literally like are immortal now, and then like did some not good stuff. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, that's weird. And then some people are like, oh, what if the Aztecs were vampires and that's why they had so much dead? And I was like, a vampire huntress would be really cool coming from an ancient vampire clan, or like tribe or whatever, and from Mesoamerica. And anytime there's like weird, I save it on Facebook or TikTok. And I'm like, if it's unexplained or weird, that's kind of my thing, right? And that's how I'm like slowly like building up more and more of the world. So I didn't realize I was going with a theme until you just said it, but that actually makes total sense because I want something that piques people's interest, right? And kind of goes from there. And I'm trying to explain it, right? Like through the world building and characters and stories. So I think that makes total sense. So I appreciate you telling me
Awesome.
what I've been doing. I
There
didn't even realize that. So I think that's
you
good.
go.
It's so funny because people always ask me, like, what do you learn? I'm like, half the time I learn what I've been doing the whole time. I'm like, yeah, I don't really think about it sometimes, right? But I think now that, now you pointed out, I'm like, oh, that actually makes sense. I think that would allow me to, do a better job at it, because now I'm kind of more conscious, and cognizant of it. So I think that's really cool. Well, that's awesome. I cannot wait to explore more of the book and the world and see how you've Use oil as magic, which is such a cool concept. I always tell my kids, they're like, oh, what are the greatest ideas? I'm like, the greatest ideas are like something mundane or just every day you don't think of, and then just taking a tiny twist. I said, they keep thinking, right? You have to flip it completely on its head
Yeah.
or create something new. I'm like, no, they think the coolest, most unique things are just
A
something.
little twist. Yep.
I'm not good at them, but maybe one day. Maybe one day. But that's super cool. So what is your book, The Necessity of Rain, about, and why should readers pick it up today? Also, another really cool cover. So
Oh, thank you. Oh God. What's it about? I don't know.
we
it's
go
kind
after the
of
mystery. That's fair.
yeah, no. It's oh God, that book is so weird. It's just kind of an exploration of mortality.
Oh, that's cool.
It's probably the most literary of my work, and also probably the most fantasy. It's probably the one that doesn't fit anywhere the most. But yeah, it was I don't even know. I started it because I read an article about the language of flowers that was used in the Victorian time. And I've seen that used in books before, but then it kind of became this whole other thing that turned into The Necessity of Rain. And the book itself, not much happens in it. It's not a book where there's a lot going on. The world building is kind of weird. It's more about like relationships with yourself, with your parents, with each other. It's loving people you know are going to die. What does that feel like? What is that experience? I started writing it when we thought my dad had terminal cancer. And my mother was just coming out of breast cancer, and they had found masses in her lungs. And so I was coming out of it. I was starting to write it at this period. My sister was in and out of the hospital with a blood thing. And so I was writing at this period where, and on top of this, I was coming out of my own 15-year thing. And so it's like all of the years writing it was like this mortality fueled thing in my head. And a lot of the time, the way I explore my own thoughts and my own mind is by writing. And so for this one, it just kind of turned into that. And there's definitely a story there. The world is being created. It's in the process of it. What happens to the divine when they're done creating is
Oh, cool.
basically the theme of it. And so the gods are central figures, but they're different than you usually see them, and they're tired, and they've created, and it's really just time to give what we've created over to the mortals now, is the whole plot. And it's just giving and taking. And so I don't know, if people read it, then I suggest you probably don't want to read it around a time when someone you love has recently died, because I've heard that's particularly tough to read a book about grief around then. But I think otherwise, I think it's some of my best writing. And I'm really, that book made me dig really hard into my soul. And I'm probably the most proud of it, though it was hardest to write. So yeah, that's what it's about. And I don't know why you'd want to read it, but you can if you want to.
I'm gonna have to tell people. So in terms of excuse me, I'm like having trouble talking. So in terms of, I had another friend, she was like, so Honey and Wildfires is like my favorite book, right? I'm like, cool. So like she sold me on it. I didn't really need a big sell, I feel like, but she did. And she did her best. And then she bugged me a lot. I'm like, I'm trying to get there. But like it was really funny because then one, I because I remember this specifically. So when The Necessity of Rain came out, I think it was maybe like 3 to 6 days. It was not very long. And she was like, this is my favorite. And she was explaining to me. And I remember after that, at some point you had a sale or something where it was in like an ebook sale or something. I was like, she's like, you have to buy it. So I bought it. And she was discussing it with me because we were also talking about, oh my goodness, I'm gonna blank on the Ursula K. Le Guin book. But like I my brother-in-law had lent it to me and stuff, and I had started to read that one as well. It was like kind of it was a little bit more existential and things, and she was like, if you like that one, you're gonna love this one. So then that's where it like really popped up on my radar. And
Awesome.
I gotta be honest with you, a lot of people talk to me about finding wildflowers, but a lot more people who I know who have read The Necessity of Rain do agree that that's your best work, and said it was like an incredible book. So I definitely can't wait to get that one. I actually popped it back up higher on my list the other day, just so I wouldn't lose it again. But yeah, like the conversations I've had with people, they weren't trying to like try to avoid spoilers and stuff, but it's just some of the themes and concepts and stuff I think sound absolutely amazing. And again, I had quite a few people talk that I've talked to about it. They're like, you love Ursula K. Le Guin. I'm like, I really, really do. And Anne McCaffrey. They're like, they're just like, there's something like you have to read this book. So I just want to let the audience know that's what my friends have said. So that's why I bought it. So I
Wow.
can't wait.
Awesome.
And I
That's
love
flattering.
the cover. I love the cover. Like, I was like, it was so funny because I remember my friend, she's like, you got to check this. And she sent it to me. And she's like, you're gonna love this cover because she knows I love certain covers. I originally was like gonna be an illustrator and stuff, and now nobody, no, don't contact me. I'm way out of my league. I'm gonna get there one day and do my own again. But she sent it to me. I was like, it just like the mood of it, just in general, and the title, just like I want to make it as a poster at one point and like get it in my classroom because I just see it and like it's just amazing. So I think that's definitely one of my favorites. So I don't say
Awesome.
that to everybody. My friends like, you don't like my cover? I was like, it's okay. Like I'm like, I teach design now, so I was like, some things I would change. But yeah, it was absolutely incredible. So I thought that was really cool. So in terms of I'm curious again, like, what have you learned from writing your first book that you would want to go back and tell your past self? Like, would it be something good, something bad, something you want to change? I'm just kind of curious at like what your advice would be.
I think my advice to myself would be the same advice I give a lot of new authors, and that would be take your time. You really only have that first book. That's your first book. That's the only time writing that book that you're not going to feel the pressure to write the next one, that you're just going to be enjoying the writing process. And you're going to be learning a lot as you do it. And there's a lot of things stylistically and with execution that I would absolutely change. But there are things that I think I could have done better if I'd spent more time and not felt as rushed. And it wasn't anyone else rushing me. It was definitely I was excited and moving out of excitement. But it's definitely something I feel like I could have told myself, and something I tell a lot of my authors now is that there's not a race to the end. There's no race to get to that finish line. The readers that you'd have tomorrow are going to be the same readers that you'll have in a year. You might even have more in a year. It just, you don't know. But the difference in the book between dropping it tomorrow and dropping it after you've spent more time on it and feel really good about it, that's where the real action happens inside of you. And I feel like just in general, I could have just let it sit a bit more and maybe percolated some elements a bit more and maybe been a little less quick to act with some elements of it.
Well, I gotta say, I appreciate that that was your feedback, part of your feedback for me. Because then when I went back and looked, I had some other things that I've also been kind of just taking. I just have two projects at all time. I feel like I need it. But I definitely feel like that helped me, not just the feedback itself, but from you saying that. I'm like, well, if Sarah says it, I was like, I feel like it's totally fine to take my time. And people ask me like, what's going on? I was like, not that I wanted necessarily, like my goal is for, anything, right, to be like award winning, whatever. But I was like, I just want it to be what it should. And I felt like you giving me that feedback, I just appreciate it because, like I don't know if I would have done it myself. So I appreciate that you did that for me, because it's definitely made not just that project you helped me with better, but also my other writing as well. And I just feel like it's helped me grow. That's my friend. I was like, I felt like I've gained like three levels lately. It's like, I was like, I'm exhausted. It's like the movie Mario, and I just keep going. Not that I like near the end or anything, level wise, but I just, yeah, I just felt like I learned quite a bit. So I definitely appreciate that advice. And I've actually given that advice to some other people as well, and they've taken it. So I just want you to know, like, that I think that's great advice.
Awesome.
So yeah, I have a friend recently, and I was like, he's like, what do you think? I was like, I would just wait a little bit. I was like, some of these things don't really seem, as strong as they could be. And they he kind of he pulled back like two different projects, and I think he has far better like a far better chance
Yeah,
of attracting authors,
there's.
readers now. Like,
Oh, I actually pulled my first book last year. I had a big mental health flip out, and I've been coming out of this 15-year health saga with cancer and a spine injury and all this stuff. And last year was my first year where I didn't really have doctors, and so I had like all this space that I suddenly wasn't being filled with panic, and I didn't know. So it just flipped a switch in my brain. And in the process of this flip being switched in my brain, what I understand now is that I have complex post-traumatic stress disorder brought on from 15 years of medical trauma. Last year, I didn't have a clue. I was triggered and I was operating off being trained. I had no idea. And so I was doing weird things that just didn't make sense at the time. And one of them was I unpublished my book. Because I was going to stop writing and I was going to unpublish all of my books. Well, that was the first one that I pulled, and I don't know what to do with it now, but that's one thing. That's why I'm saying, I wish I'd spent more time, because now I'm looking at this book that I pulled and I'm trying to decide what I want to do with it. And the thing is, when I look at it, I'm not comfortable releasing it anymore because there are some elements of it that make me uncomfortable. That editorially, if I was editing this thing, I'm like, why is this here? So that's where the time comes in. I wish I'd spent more time and then I'd thought about some of the aspects of it more from a perspective that was maybe a bit more practiced from it. And now that I pulled the whole stupid book and some mental health thing, I have this, I don't know what to do with it at this point. And it's a weird thing where I'm just kind of feeling like I wish I'd spent more time to think through some of these things back then, because it would have been a lot easier to think through these things before the book had published. And so now it's just an awkward situation. And for what it's worth, I've been in therapy all year. I've been diagnosed. It's been the best thing that ever happened to me. It has given me my life back. And if anyone ever has mental health problems, please go get help. It does not make you weak. So there we go.
I PTSD, like, I had a bout of that, and I had a very like traumatic thing happen family wise, and yeah, I long time did not know, and I totally get that. I was reacting in situations, and I wasn't really understanding why until I, was able to get some help and stuff and talk to the right person about it, I would say. After my son was born, he had a he we didn't I didn't think he was gonna make it. When I saw him, he was not moving. He was totally gray. Like, it was just crazy. Yeah. And like, to this day, like, people would be like, I spent a lot of more time with him, I think, than most dads, and do a lot of extra things. Because I like, my wife had a different perspective, right? Like, she got to see him later where he was moving and stuff. But yeah, it was wild. And like, we were, yeah, we talked to a therapist for like, I think like 5 months or something like that. And then I actually went after that too. My wife was like feeling better and stuff. And I was like, I'm just not. I was like, I'm just angry, And I was like, it didn't seem fair, And we missed out on a lot of like the first opportunities and stuff because he was in NICU and stuff. And then after, there was like, like other stuff that, yeah, it kind of felt rushed and stuff. And yeah, so I went and after, like, separately and stuff. stuff. And I had just like an amazing person I was talking to with one of my old districts and stuff. But yeah, I second that. I mean, and I thought I was fine, right? But at one point I could just feel I just wasn't. And I just felt like I had to get right for my son, if not for me, if that makes sense. Yeah, so I definitely
Yeah.
understand that. Yeah. But I'm really glad that you were able, to get some clarity and, and help as well. So that makes me really happy for you, because I definitely know that feeling. So, but I also understand with a book like that, because I have a friend that just did that off of first series and pulled the whole thing. And yeah, same thing, sitting and trying to figure out, yeah, what to do with it. But
Yeah.
he would recommend, he's like, what do you think? He would recommend waiting until you're ready to,
Yeah.
the people are pressuring him to re-release it, readers and stuff. And he's like, I'm just not ready. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's I keep getting asked about it and I
I'm
just
sure.
don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know. It's so weird. It's locked up in this whole emotional thing. It's so weird to look at it and I'll figure it out someday, but I'm not worrying about it right now.
I mean, just from a business standpoint, I feel like if you release it, you re-release at any point, people, you know what I mean? People are gonna,
Yeah.
I would go right away for it, right? If you're like, hey, I'm gonna do a special edition Kickstarter, bam, bought. Which is nice, right? Versus, being maybe, where you were in the past, right? Like just starting and stuff. So I do
Yeah.
think, so take your time, right? There's no big rush. People will buy it. I know that for a fact. I've talked to a lot of people about your writing. I know quite a few people will be really happy about that. To be like, another Sarah Chorn release? Let's do this thing. So yeah. So in terms of your editing background, I'm just curious, like, what has your editing background done for your own writing and your creative processes?
I learn from every book I work on. There's no like information vacuum. My authors teach me as much as I learn as I teach them. It's definitely, and I wouldn't be able to write those things that I write if it wasn't for my authors and working with them and seeing what's possible if you push yourself. And it's incredible. I work with the most talented people, and it's just I'm so lucky to be surrounded by so much experience all the time. It's absolutely shaped my writing. There's no way when I was starting to write that I would have been capable to write something like The Necessity of Rain. There's just I feel like I've graduated in skills since then, and a large part of that has been because of my authors. They push me every day, and that's been the most incredible experience. Just being that immersed in craft all the time has allowed me to look at story and how it functions in a completely different way.
Yeah, I feel like you've had a really great list. So I feel like that, I don't know how that wouldn't happen. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've had like some of the most amazing kids, and people always ask me, like, what'd you learn? I'm like, I learned a lot, like
A lot, yep,
about
a lot,
life. And
yeah.
yeah, so I can only imagine, like, especially with your backlog of, of, I could, like, one point, I don't know what I was looking for something, I can't remember. And I was looking for a different editor, and you kept popping up. I was like, no, I'm looking for Sarah. I was looking for this other person, this other Sarah. And I got her last name. I feel really bad right now. It's been a week, but yeah, your name kept popping up. I was like, I know she edited this book. I know. And then I started going, yeah, Sarah's the edit. It's a really great books. And I've talked to quite a few, people on here, whose, books like mine that you edited. And I mean, yeah, everybody has amazing things to say about your processes and, your feedback. And I actually just had actually I just remember I was just talking to somebody the other day, actually, because they asked me, like, how's Sarah? I was like, oh man. I was like, I was like, the feedback alone is a master class at your own, like, editing and developing, like the story and characters. So then they were like, oh, I'm so jealous. I was like, I'm sure she'll have spots open up. I'm like, yeah, I would just go. I was like, just go. Yeah. So we had a great conversation about that. But yeah, it was so funny because I was just in the zone of just looking for this other editor, and I just like, I boom, 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 boom. I don't know. I think it's like, it's like just psychology, right? I just didn't realize, I talked to people and I know, right? I read the books and stuff, but until you see them all on one list, right? It's like, holy crap. So I encourage people to do that. because they could actually see your catalog that way on Amazon, which is really cool. Because I know exactly what happened. I think I was trying to click on her and I clicked on you, and then it just went that way or something with the algorithm. But it was really cool though to be like, oh, I've interviewed that person. That person's my friend. I was like, oh, this is really neat. So no wonder everybody likes you, Sarah, because you've had some
Oh
great relationships, I'm sure, built, from the editing process. So that's super cool.
man.
I'm jealous that you are editing and writing and doing so well at both. Somebody asked me, they're like, "Who do you want to be when you grow up?" I was like, "I want to be Sarah Thorne." It would be a good like. I like to be a big kid author and help people, from the podcasting standpoint, right? To that degree. So I think that's really cool. But yeah, if you ever want to, if you ever had a
you.
bad day, Sarah, go on to Amazon and look up your own name, and you'll just see like it's just incredible. So it was a cool experience. So if you could visit one setting in your own writing, which would it be and why?
I think I'd go to the Necessity of Rain because the universe, it's not even like a world. I kind of created a pocket realities that are kind of connected, and you can do whatever you want with them, and they're weird, and I just liked it. I had so much fun with that, and I feel like it would be fun to visit them. So, yeah.
I actually had a very extensive conversation with my friends that had read the book about that. And he's gonna kill me if he sees this because he is not a engineer. He is something else, and I'm just blanking. I'm blanking a lot today. My kid's been teething. We got one tooth left, guys, or he does. Yeah, it's been a week. Like, I feel bad for him. I keep being like, "Do you want a cookie? Like, do you want an apple? Like, what's going on?" Yeah, but we talked quite a bit about that. That's actually, I was like, "I'm gonna buy." I was like, "I bought the book," but then we talked quite a bit about that because he just really liked the setting and like how you did that. I don't want to give everything away, but like how you set everything up in the book in general, he was like really impressed by that. Definitely went into his own writing as well for like science
Oh,
fiction.
wow.
Like it's
Awesome.
he's not really doing straight. I don't even know if sci fantasy would be like, but it's like a blend, right?
Oh, I love that stuff.
So really cool. So I just, yeah, I think that's really neat. I always like to tell people, right, if I'm having conversations about, their books or their writing, because as a teacher, I don't get to see a lot of what I do, right? It's always later, and I feel, like editing's, I think, is a little different, right? But
Yeah.
writing is very similar to teaching, right? People review, right? But not even that many compared to who unfortunately read the book, right? Which is why we focus on reviews here in particular. But yeah, I think it's always cool to connect people with, readers or, somebody that's enjoyed their work or who they've inspired. So I always think that's really cool. But yeah, he was really impressed with like kind of how you set that up, and he's telling me all about it. I was like, don't spoil anything for me. I was like, I bought the book. Like, I was like, I'm gonna do it, I promise. I'm just a dad. But yeah, I thought that was super cool. He was telling me that wasn't
Very
spoiled, which I was
cool.
like, that's really neat. So thought that was
Yeah.
awesome. Now, I just want
Awesome.
to ask real fast, if you could visit one other world from someone else's writing, whether it's book, TV, comic, or video game, which would it be and why?
Don't know.
I know,
I
right?
don't know. Probably the Shire. Because
Oh,
it's
that's a good
pretty.
one. It's a good one.
So yeah, that probably that one. I've always been partial to the, grassy hills and stuff. Yeah, that's probably my
That's funny. Nobody's ever said that, actually. I've been asking that similar
vibe.
question for 2 years. No one said the Shire. I can't
Yeah.
believe that. Like,
Yeah.
I've
It's
had
just cozy. It's green. There's rolling hills. You
Oh,
can read in the
totally.
window, and
Don't worry.
yeah, it's fine.
For the most
Everyone
part,
can
don't have
go
to.
away, and I have my fence in my garden. It's perfect.
Get fish and just go on the lazy river.
Yeah, it's
That's really
great.
funny. I'm actually disappointed in the rest of you that nobody said that. We've had Gondor, like of all the places you would assume the Shire would be. I've had
It's
Fangorn
good
Forest.
stuff.
Yeah, the Mirkwood. I'm like, why are you guys picking all the dangerous places, right? Why not go with the quick and easy one? Like, oh, that's really
Yeah.
funny. My friend just that reminds me, I gotta go back. He's trying to, he's like, you gotta finish Rings of Power, like the new season. I'm like, it's been so hard to watch TV. I've just been reading so
Yeah.
much lately, and I've
Yeah.
finished one great book after another. I'm on like 10 right now. So I'm just like, if I'm in the zone, I figure like, why not? I'm also like watching The Mentalist right now and like really into
Oh,
it. I love the character development and just like the way that they do stuff. It's been a really good. I always like to have one show that's like if I eat or, I'm working or something, I can kind of whatever. But Firefly used to be a good one. I always like to do character studies and just to see how, somebody else does something. But yeah, that's like, those have been my jam lately. But yeah, The Shire, no one said that. Well, we're going to get to that last question for you, Sarah. Do you have any news, updates, current projects, services, anything like that you can share with us?
Not really. I'm working on a book
Oh, cool.
called A Portrait in Shifting Light, and I'm hoping to have it out next year, but I'm not sure. I'm still kind of fiddling with the world a bit.
Yeah.
And then otherwise, I'm just editing, and you can always find me at sarachornedits.com, or I'm Sarah Chorn everywhere. So,
That's awesome. I was gonna say, I feel like you're always busy, right? Which is great. So I want to keep that up. So I just want to mention for Sarah for editing services. If anybody wants to know what I think, I just said it here, but I'll tell you privately as well. All right. Just keep Sarah busy and full. You'll all be happy. But yeah, and in terms of reviews, just want to remind people, right, that reviews is really going to, and also we've been talking about reviews for services too. So I've actually mentioned you quite a few times for services, just as an example. So, anytime, we've talked to right guys about a book, right? If Sarah's edited it, or written it, either way, right? Reviewing it helps all those people involved. So we just want to continue with that theme to help people. I know it's really everybody's really been struggling to get seen in the algorithm lately, particularly on Amazon with new changes and things, some of those topics like AI and stuff we've talked about. So please make sure you go and check out Sarah's links, both editing, book, and social in the description, anywhere you're watching or listening to this podcast. And thank you everybody so much for tuning in. Sarah, thank you so much. This has been a blast. I cannot wait to have you on for a spoiler edition once I can get both books, The Associate Brain and Opponent and Wildfires, read. I really looking forward to doing spoiler editions. I was just talking to a friend about that. He's like, why has nobody done that? I go, I don't know. I was like, but I'm gonna do it. Particularly
That'll
people
be awesome.
on first. Yeah, so I just can't wait to just like kind of rap about it. And because I've had quite a few people ask me, like I mentioned it, I was like, yeah, I want to do it. So I'm really excited that I've had my fourth season down. So be on the lookout for this school year, I would say. So once I get, I don't know which one I want to start with. It's really hard. I might just flip a coin. But after one of them, I'll have you back and we'll do a spoiler edition. And I think it'll be really
Awesome.
fun. We can go really in depth because I know quite a few people have talked to me already about spoiler editions and they seem really interested. So I think that'd
Very
be
cool.
cool. We could kind of go a little more immersive with the characters, world building, stuff like that. And yeah, kind of pick your brain even more than we already did. So
That
be
would
on
be
the lookout
fun.
for that. Yeah, be on the lookout for that. Probably sometime winter or spring. And yeah, I can't wait to have you on again in the future. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime, anytime. Well, you have a great rest of the day, Sarah, and I'm sure I'll see you soon on social media, and I'll be emailing you all the details and things again. But other than that, you have a great rest of the day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. See you later. Bye.
See ya. Bye.